Up to now, the world has been a thief and a robber. And the thief has been the mind of every man, unwilling to know, to accept, that the Spirit of God is not confined to some who are good and withheld from some who are bad. Not confined to those who wear robes in a church, but withheld from those who lay bricks on a pavement. Not withheld from the criminal, from the adulterer, from the corrupt. Withheld from no one. So wherever you look, no judgment. The only righteous judgment is there, is my Spirit invisible. And in this acceptance, this yielding to the truth, you've opened the door. You have followed Him, the Christ, the dove of spirit, the Lamb of God, by accepting that dove of spirit to be your name, your infinite name, your name without reservation, without limitation. You are accepting that spirit is whole, and you are accepting the fullness of your spiritual identity. The fullness of your spiritual identity accepted is the door. Anything less is a thief and a robber. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. And so if in our lives we find that we have not been able to experience divine qualities, it is clear that the reason is because we have not accepted infinite spiritual identity. Now that must be remembered, and the oversight must be corrected. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Now this means then that transition can only occur for one who is in infinite spiritual identity. The opposite of transition is death. Death is the normal. We're all familiar with that. But here we suddenly discover we're not helpless victims. We don't have to move through the normal death. We can go in and out and find pasture and be sustained by the infinite, by the acceptance of infinite spiritual selfhood. Living essence, never disconnected from the living essence that is my neighbor, or the living essence that is a tree, or the living essence that is the sky or the water. Living essence everywhere. Never disconnected, never separated. Always one infinite essence. To this we must be true. And then the form will show the grace of that essence. You're going backstage behind the forms to the essence which mortal mind is counterfeiting into forms. You're putting your consciousness at the root of being, resting there, abiding in the essence that is infinitely everywhere expressing the perfection of the Father. thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is that thief? We know by now it's the human mind. The human mind comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Not consciously, unconsciously. How does it do it? It makes us believe in that which is not real. It counterfeits the essence of our own being and presents this counterfeit as our form, as the reality of things around us when they're only counterfeits. And as we believe on these things which the mind presents, we are deceived. We find they are perishable. Nothing created by the human mind is imperishable. Nothing created by the human mind is of the essence of God. So we build a complete world, a mental world, which to us is very real, but it crumbles. Every form created by the mind follows the same path of deterioration and death, whether it's person or thing. The thief can only steal, kill, destroy, because it is creating false images. We are seeing that what is presented to us by the human mind is never the truth. But I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. And so the essence says, now I'm taking you out of mortal mind. I'm revealing to you the illusions that the world has accepted by living in the mind, the thief that destroys. The same mind that you have cherished as your own is the mind that brings you to the belief in war, to the belief in sickness and disease and suffering and pain, to the belief in famine and poverty. Who created them? God? No, that very mind itself. And now, we're going to learn the nature of that mind from the very spirit of our own being. The mind does not come to give us life. It comes to give us the counterfeit of life, which ends in death, because it is not life. That mind here is called a hireling. Now says the voice, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now again, the sheep begins to take another meaning. The good shepherd gives his life. The Spirit of God in you is life. And that life is your life. And that life is eternal life. That life maintains its eternality by the perfection of its qualities, because that is the good shepherd. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now the hireling is revealed here to be the mind of man. But it's a hireling because it's a captive mind. It's a controlled mind. Man thinks his mind is free, but here the Spirit of God is saying the mind is not free. It's an hireling. Who hired it? And you know that the world mind individualizes as the human mind. So the human mind, which is a thief, is employed by the world mind. It cannot act of its own self. It must say to its employer, what do you want me to do? World mind governs the mind of man. That's the meaning of this mind is a hireling. It's a controlled, captive mind, and it doesn't know it. It thinks it's free to make decisions, and the only decisions it can make are those decisions which are not true, because it is not the door. It is living in a world which is not the spirit. And everything we do with the human mind then is controlled by another mind called the world mind. And this is the revelation then here, that the human mind is under a state of hypnosis. It can do nothing of its own. It must obey the world mind. That's the reason it flees when the going gets rough. That's the reason it cannot maintain that which it creates. That's the reason the wolf scatters it. This is revealing the nature of the human mind as inadequate. A state of hypnosis which knows not the Father. It is a hireling. It is not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not. The reason it doesn't own the sheep is that whatever the human mind sees and thinks and feels is a counterfeit forced upon it by the world mind. It doesn't create the qualities that it expresses. The world mind qualities come through the individual mind. If there's hate in the world, it rubs off through the human mind. If there's violence in the world, it rubs off through the human mind. If there's sickness in the world, it rubs off through the human mind. Its sheep are not its own. It is a completely controlled state of hypnosis. Every human mind is revealed here as that state of hypnosis which has absolutely no control over its own creations, although it thinks it has, which is exactly why the word hypnosis is so perfect. The Adam dream state of the human mind of the hireling is what Spirit is pointing out to us here. It fleeth and the wolf catcheth them. When the wolf comes, it leaves. The wolf are the false concepts of the intellect. And so the mind is frightened by its own creations. The human mind is frightened by itself. It doesn't even know it is creating the sense of evil. And the sense of evil which is created through it frightens even it. So that we're all frightened of the same things, because we're all in that hireling mind which runs when the wolf comes. And then we are caught in our own thinking. And that's the only place we're ever caught. In our own thought are all the problems that we face. And we are the creators of that thought. And yet that thought is forced upon us. And when you've heard before now that this is a world mind functioning you, and your human mind is responding, you're in a state of cosmic television, this is what the Spirit is telling us here. Of course, the answer is to be in the knowledge of spiritual identity. The door out of the hypnosis of the human mind. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Everything functioning through the human mind is mechanical. It's not true creation. You'll find that it has no real power because it has no real love. It's counterfeit love. and its counterfeit power. This human mind cannot sustain its own creation. It has to flee. It is a counterfeit itself, and it cannot sustain the counterfeit that flows out of it. So the body is left to disease. The body is left to pain. The body is left to lack and limitation, because the father of that body is the counterfeit hireling mind. And the real body of spirit is unknown to that counterfeit mind. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In fact, we come to spiritual identity, accepted, but always infinite spiritual identity. Never the mistake of a little spiritual me. I can't accept me without accepting you in the same place as that one infinite spirit. The Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now this is the life then, spiritual life, and it is sustained by the Father. When you're living in the acceptance of the spiritual life, it is sustained. It doesn't run. There's no wolf to scatter it. It isn't tempted into the belief in material or mortality. It is your immortal life accepted here and now. And this is sustained by the Good Shepherd, because the Good Shepherd and the Father are one. Now, do you see how this is underlying? That there is only the infinite invisible spirit, and that is your name. And because there is only the infinite invisible spirit, that is all there is. There's not the infinite invisible spirit and. Not infinite invisible spirit and a physical form, and a human life, and a boy, and a girl, and a man. No. There's only infinite invisible spirit. And when you begin to give it names, mother, father, sister, brother, you're making an and where there isn't any. Falling into the trap of the mind. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my name, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, we have a heaven and an earth, and earth is our concept of heaven. We look at heaven through a glass darkly, and we call it earth. Actually, the invisible spiritual kingdom is heaven. It's present. And then you might say that this earth then is our outer concept of the inner spiritual kingdom. Now he has other sheep in the fold, says the Christ. You find that when you're in your spiritual kingdom realized, that becomes the new earth. But there's still a heaven. That's where the other sheep in the fold are. The spiritual kingdom is only the fifth world. And it is the outer concept that you will entertain of the sixth world, which is the celestial kingdom. And there are saints there and angels there. They're all part of the fold. In fact, the entire seven levels of consciousness, or seven heavens, contain the fullness of the fold. And we'll have a new heaven when we step out of the spiritual kingdom into the celestial. All on our way to the one infinite consciousness realized. Again, the Spirit is pointing out that there is one fold, one self, one kingdom, one being. And until we are that one being, we're rejecting the very Spirit itself, which says, I am the one, and you must be the one, because that is the doorway to reality. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to make it, to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now this voice speaking, which says I can lay it down and take it up again, is your own spiritual self, advising you that when you have accepted spiritual identity, you move through every sphere. You can lay down a concept in one level and pick it up in another. You can even come back to this world if you feel like it. But you're taken out of confinement in time and space and matter and form. This is the nature of true being. And all before this was a thief and a robber. Now, many of these concepts are unknown to the human mind because it has never been felt by us that we could really overcome death. It has never been felt by us that we really could not be sick or in pain. We were trying to overcome these things, but we were using a hypnotized human mind which thinks these things exist. And the very Spirit of God here, called the Good Shepherd, is saying you've been following a thief which has been robbing you of your identity, and that thief is your human mind. In your identity, you too will see that I have been showing you one thing on this earth. One thing. And here it is. You'll find it in 7:21 of John. A beautiful statement, which we did not discuss, which very rarely has been discussed. Jesus answered, when they were all clamoring about his works, and he said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Now we thought he was doing many things, but he says, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. What is the one work? He's revealing constantly that God is running a perfect universe. No matter where you look, no matter what you see, that is not the truth. I have done only one work. I am revealing that there is a perfect universe right where you are looking and seeing an imperfect one. The one work is to reveal that I, Spirit, am the only inhabitant of this earth. And I am yourself. I am the Spirit of God where you stand. I am the Spirit of God where your child stands. I am the Spirit of God where everyone stands on this earth. That is the only work that Jesus Christ was doing. Revealing the Spirit of God is everywhere now. everywhere now. And that indivisible spirit is the name of everyone now. Such an incredible work that the human mind to this very day is staggered by even the concept of it. And then, just to make sure that we don't turn away, Joel comes along and says the very same thing. I think we'll find it during the intermission in this chapter, no end. And now we'll be prepared to look at no end, because it is telling us the very story of the Good Shepherd in a different way. Who is the Good Shepherd? Your answer must be my spirit. Where is the Good Shepherd? Here, there, and everywhere now. Who experiences the activity of the Good Shepherd? The one who accepts that identity. For until you are the Good Shepherd, you have none. The Spirit of God, where you dwell, is the Good Shepherd. Whoever tries to enter the sheepfold, meaning the kingdom of God, in any other way, is doomed to fail. Now, perhaps on that day, the disciples heard something from the Christ along the lines we have discussed. They were being prepared to witness a crucifixion and ultimately to go through a crucifixion themselves. We are being prepared to go through the painless crucifixion of the false self by the renewal of that mind which knows that I am the living spirit, by the willingness to follow the dove of spirit as identity, and to let that spirit baptize us with the Holy Ghost, which expresses the will of the Father. In your acceptance of pure identity, the purity of the Father's activity in you as the Holy Ghost is made manifest. The deeper your spiritual awareness becomes, the more you will know God is running a perfect universe and no other exists. I'm going to read a few quotes from No End. They're scattered, but they make a picture. First of all, we must know this. We cannot cure a disease. There is none. We cannot overcome poverty. There is none. We cannot overcome death. There is none. The only thing we can do is to recognize that we're not dealing with those appearances or suggestions. As such, we are dealing with hypnotism. What is the hypnotism? The human mind itself is a state of hypnotism. What is the truth? Spirit is all that is here, and the human mind will not present to me the truth about spirit. It will always present to me the truth about its own false creation and call it disease, poverty, famine. But it isn't. There is no such thing. All there is hypnotism. Now, the truth is that all there is infinite God and its creation. And here's the mind with disease, lack, death, pain, whatnot. And all there is infinite God and its creation. Now, where do you fit into the picture? If all there is infinite God and its creation. If God is spirit and its creation is spirit, where are you? You must be that spirit. And the hypnotism is the belief that you're not. And the belief that you're not then pyramids into the belief that the you that isn't spirit is sick or this, that, or the other thing, and there is no such you. Spirit is the door. I, Spirit, Christ, am the Good Shepherd. I am the door. I am the identity. I am the self. Yourself is the door. The acceptance of your spiritual self is the door. To understand reality, we must understand that spirit alone is real, since spirit is infinite. All that exists, then, must exist at the standpoint of spirit and be under spiritual law. So we're never dealing with the physical effects of mental causes. We're dealing only with God manifesting itself, expressing its infinite harmonies, and with the appearance, suggestion, or claim of a universal belief in a selfhood apart from God, of a universe apart from God, of a selfhood and a universe subject to material mental laws. There simply isn't any. You know, Joel wrote this, expressing the spiritual voice within, just a few months before his own transition. Fortunately, we were able to have this from him before that transition. There is nothing but a spiritual universe. And what isn't spirit simply does not exist except as a state of hypnotism of the human mind, which itself is a state of hypnotism and has no real existence. Now then, can you believe that there's a God in sickness too? Where would God be while someone is suffering? See how simple it is when you're alerted to be in the right awareness. Where is God while our children are dying or suffering? Where? Absent? Hiding? Indifferent? Obviously not. And where is God? Right there. Why isn't God doing something about these sufferings of our children? Because we're hypnotized and God isn't. All that is there is his spirit, perfect as the Father. And we, not being in our spiritual identity, do not recognize the spiritual identity of the child, and we bind them to their suffering. If we can be made to believe that there is a mortal material universe we too are a part of the hypnotism. Can't be any more absolute than that. Another statement. Sin is really the acceptance of a material universe. Now, we are perplexed, no doubt, because we have tried to overcome the material universe, and it hasn't worked. It overcomes us. And the reason we've been unable to overcome it is not only because we're unaware of the state of hypnotism which makes it appear real, but we try to overcome it on our own power, on our own intelligence, on our own strength. And you don't have to do that, because that's the part of the first six verses of the Good Shepherd that need another explanation right now. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He that entereth in by the door is the one who accepts himself to be spiritual identity. Now, spiritual identity is the shepherd of the divine qualities. Spiritual identity leads and releases those divine qualities, so it's the shepherd of the sheep. You don't do it. Your spiritual identity automatically leads the sheep. The moment you have accepted spiritual identity, you're in the divine will. The divine will expresses those qualities. You do not do it as a human being with a human mind. It doesn't depend on your creative capacity. You don't mentally figure out how to be omnipotent or how to be 200 miles away. The spirit of you is omnipotent and is 200 miles away. And when you rest in your spiritual awareness of self, the omnipotence of your spirit is released into expression, 200 miles away. You don't do it. You build the invisible oneness of spirit by recognition of it. And then the Father within doeth the works. If we depended on our own selves to do anything, we'd be limited to what we could do with our hands and our minds and our technological instruments. But the Infinite Spirit doeth the works the moment you have accepted it to be your name. Then the shepherd is the master of the sheep. You see, we're being told that grace functions in your identity. It isn't limited to what you can even understand. It's automatically perfect as the Father. In him, to him the porter openeth. The porter is your consciousness, begins to open. And the sheep hear his voice. The moment you're conscious of spiritual identity, the qualities of spirit hear the voice of spiritual identity. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. I, Christ, in the midst of you, send forth those qualities necessary to your demonstration on this plane. I, Christ, am the Good Shepherd. And I, Christ, when I putteth them forth, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When I, Christ, in you, releases divine qualities, I, Christ, in you, goes before those qualities. I, Christ, in you, sustains those qualities. They do not run when the wolf comes. Your identity is all you can trust in this whole universe, nothing else. There's no difference between the hell called poverty and that called war, disease, or sin. One of them is no worse than another. They're all forms of one thing, and that one thing is hypnotism. Take away the hypnotism, and none of these things would be there. There's only one error, and that is hypnotism. Now, that's Joe making it so clear. If we've got that out of today, that spirit is all, there's only spirit, not spirit and mother, daughter, father, sister, not spirit and sickness, not spirit and person, not spirit and mortality, not spirit and human life, not spirit and things. These are the appearances to the human mind. There is spirit. And spiritual awareness that there is spirit is the door. There is spirit only. And you can therefore look at that which comes to your attention with the knowledge that only spirit is there. And right there is the Spirit of God running its perfect universe, no matter what I see. All else on this earth is hypnotism. Then I have found my door. Then I know why he said to Nicodemus, unless you are reborn of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless Christ sits on the well of your consciousness, you will not have living waters. And because Christ sits on the well of my consciousness, he says, I can walk upon the water and I can say to the waves, be still. Because God is running a perfect universe right there, only spirit is there, and the rising of the waves is a form of hypnotism. As you dwell consistently in this knowledge, you'll find you're losing the human sense mind. You're becoming a living Christ mind, which knows only the Father and no end. And this is how we come into the spiritual kingdom on earth. Where we're not victims of material laws, where we don't live out past karma, where we don't defend and protect against any force on the earth, where we don't fear and doubt and worry about tomorrow, but rather we know that as spirit we are moving through mansion after mansion, under total guidance, that the Good Shepherd is our own true spiritual being, ever leading us further and further and further to the seventh heaven of eternal reality, which is ever present, awaiting those who wish to make the inner journey. To go in and out and find pasture. Or maybe we were blind once, but we're certainly having our eyes opened. We are being awakened. It's taken all of 7 or 8 years of this class to come just at this point. You'll notice in the Cross the Desk section of this chapter that Joel says, we spent March in California, San Francisco. That was the March he was here at the Masonic Temple. It was the first March that I know, or first year he was here in maybe 10 years. And that was his last. Just 2 months after this letter was written, no end. And that's part of the great inheritance we have received from him, through him, no end. Just God, Spirit, and include yourself. Include everyone you know. Give birth to everyone spiritually in your consciousness, and the great message of no end will be completed in your own awareness. That is the door. No end. That means there's only one. And if you can find a second self anywhere in the universe, you have stepped out of essence into form. There is no second self. There is only the spiritual self. And there is no second self. And we have no right to turn away from the Christ self and to see a second self where none exists. Follow the one self was the message of John the Baptist. And I am that self, I am that Christ, said the Christ to the woman of Samaria. I have only done one work on earth, said that Christ, and it is to teach that there is no other self. And whoever knows there is no other self and accepts that self has found the door to the kingdom of heaven on earth that Christ Jesus revealed was ever present. No end, no other self. In your contemplations this week, you simply take out of no end the chapter in this book, a phrase of Joel's, knowing that he's telling you there's no other self, that the Good Shepherd is your spiritual self, and there's no other door, and you rest in it. In your contemplation, you know this to be the truth. The more you rest in it, you'll see why later the Spirit says, I am the door. I am the way. I am the wine. I am the life. I am the resurrection. The Spirit of you resurrects you out of the belief in a self that can never die. So that you can release all of your loved ones, all of your friends, all of your neighbors, and know that none of them exist in a self that can ever die. Your door is an infinite door. And that door leads out of the false sense of selves into the one perfect, ever-present, infinite self. Once you go through that door, you don't turn back. And you don't depend on your human resources, because that door is the doorway to grace. to the infinite automation of the Spirit doing its own work. The one infinite invisible selfhood does its own work, and you simply abide in the knowledge that it is present doing its work, and therefore the problems you see are not there. You have stepped out of the false sense of mortality. The door that led out of mortality leads to the realization of immortality now in spirit. Pick some of the passages toward the end of this chapter. Dwell with them until they speak to you in your inner self. And remember, whatever they reveal to you that is spiritual truth is a forever truth, a trustworthy truth that you can depend upon. You find yourself resting in oneness. Which is ever the work of the Christ to reveal I and the Father are one. That will be your preparation for a day in which the Spirit of God lives itself as you. And this cumulative preparation leads to that day when, for you, all that is of this earth that is perishable has nothing to do with your being. It falls away. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Spirit does not perish. And so next time we're going to continue these last pages of Noan and go again into the next chapter now, which is resting in oneness, which you will be doing in preparation for the very chapter. We'll also take a peek at number 11 of John. Maybe some sections of the latter part of number 10. Your function is not to pass by John 10 without making an adjustment in consciousness. A daily adjustment. Until you can come to that chapter and look at it. Say, I understand it, and I'm doing it. This is the living way. I, the spirit of my being, is the good shepherd. And it releases the divine thoughts, the divine qualities, the sheep, into expression by grace. So that what I had called personal problems can only exist if I have not entered the door of spirit. Because when I do, all personal problems are dissolved in the grace, the activity of the sheep which are following the Good Shepherd. You have no limitation in your spiritual self. I haven't mentioned Mother's Day because you can see that the answer is the entire class itself. If God is all, you have your answer. If Spirit is all, there can be no division, no separation. You must know by now that the identity of your own mother has to be Christ. Anything less is untrue. If you have not realized this before, it is time to sit down with the truth and know it so well that never again do you ever think of Mother as less than Christ itself. For there is no end. There is only the Spirit of God. And then you see, you know who you are. These are steps to consciously take without turning back. Thanks very much. Thank you.